Hello, everybody, and welcome to That Wrestling Show, the only podcast where all pro wrestling matters. You know what that means. Hello, everybody, I'm Bill Yankovy, and a very happy new year to all of you on this, well, officially the end of the first week of 2021. And what an interesting week for professional wrestling. This week, going to be reviewing both nights of Wrestle Kingdom 15, plus going to be talking about the COVID situation going on in the world of professional wrestling. Unfortunately, some of the legends and heroes are battling it. And you're going to hear me beg WWE a little later on to not have Cardi B be a part of WrestleMania. Before I go any further, I do want to talk about briefly, obviously since the last episode, which was 2 weeks ago, the death of Brody Lee, I did a video that I put up on my YouTube channel, Bill & Company, which I posted a video on our Facebook group, the day after Christmas, and obviously the death still is hurting people. It's still, you know, really affecting a lot of people. But I just gotta say, the tribute show, I know I'm a week late, but it's okay, because last week was our winter break. That tribute show might have been the best tribute show I've ever seen in my life. And that's in any form of entertainment. That was beyond amazing. It was, I would say, the most emotional 2 hours of wrestling I will ever watch in my life. I honestly thought, you know, and I think a lot of people thought until the 30th of December, that the Eddie Guerrero tribute was the best tribute show ever. And there are probably people that still think that way, which I totally respect and I understand. But my God, that Brody Lee tribute show. If you didn't watch it, go watch it. And if you did watch it, and you weren't fighting back tears, or you didn't, or, you know, if you didn't have any tears, you're not human. You are not human. That 2 hour program, like I said, was perhaps the most emotional 2 hours of wrestling I will ever see in my life. And I cried at the end. I bawled like a baby. It was just unbelievable, that tribute ending. I haven't cried like that since the beginning of the Eddie Guerrero tribute. And, you know, that was shocking. Brody Lee's death was shocking. But it was just as sad. I think it was just as sad because, number one, everybody loved Brody Lee. I don't think there's anybody that would say a bad word about Brody Lee. And number two, he was a family man. He cared more about his family than the business. And you don't find a lot of people like that these days, where they care more about their family and want to be with their family than wanting to be in this business, in professional wrestling. And the fact that Tony Khan has promised Brody Lee Jr., his oldest son, that if he wants to be a wrestler, if he wants to be a wrestler when he turns 18, he's got a spot in the AEW roster. He's got a spot. And one other person I have to say, his wife, Amanda. One of the strongest people I think I've ever seen. To have had this tragedy happen. To be the strong figure. And she might not believe this. Or a lot of... There may be some people that might not believe what I'm about to say. But I think... Within the span of the last 2 weeks, Amanda Huber has gained more fans for being how classy, how strong, and how loving she has been. And I just want to say to Amanda, if she does listen to this, if she doesn't, I'm okay. Thank you for sharing a wonderful man, a wonderful husband, and being able, you know, to see you and you be a strong influence to a lot of people in a time that we need it. You have become a strong influence on a lot of people, and that's what we need in this world, are strong, caring people. And you have definitely shown that. You have shown a lot of class, and we as wrestling fans are going to get through this together, because I think that's what Brody Lee would have wanted. We're going to get it together. We're going to get through this together. Want to talk about, briefly, our year-end awards. Voting is coming to an end. We have only a week to go in our year-end awards. And I want to talk about a couple of categories that are very close. We got some close races in some of these categories. I'm not going to say who's leading, but I do want to mention, you know, some of the close categories. The most shocking moment in wrestling, the Hell Has Frozen Over Award, that is very close. The best major wrestling show of the year is very close. Match of the year is kind of close. Tag team of the year is kind of close. Woman of the Year is extremely close, and the Wrestler of the Year is very close as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the final days of voting will end up being. Of course, you have until really next Thursday to place your vote. If you have not placed your vote yet, you have until next Thursday to place your vote in all of our categories for our award show, which will be next Friday. I want to talk about a couple of wrestlers who have, we found out as of late, have tested positive for COVID. Mick Foley, we know, had COVID. He was doing a virtual signing, and he ended up testing positive for COVID, and he stayed in a hotel for close to 3 weeks, missed Christmas, and he loves Christmas. Missed Christmas, missed New Year's with his family, but fortunately, he's doing a lot better, and he was able to get home, was able to get home recently. Also, Bobby Fulton, one half of the Fantastics, announced yesterday that he tested positive for COVID, and I'll read his tweet. "Well, I am COVID-19 positive. I wear my mask, covering my nose and mouth. Why, you dumbass people refuse to wear them or wear them below your nose? You are the cause. This way, this will not go away." That was his That was from his Twitter. And also the legendary Les Thornton. Or Les Thatcher, pardon me. Les Thornton passed away a couple years ago. Les Thatcher tested positive for COVID-19. And he's also got a battle with pneumonia as well. He sent out this message. I want to finally say a very humble thank you for all the thousands of prayers and love being sent my way over the last few days. I am battling COVID-19 pneumonia, which can be very dangerous, but what it don't know is it's dealing with an old-school pro wrestler, not an acrobat. So I plan to kick its ass before it gets mine. My best in well wishes and prayers to all of you for your support. My love and respect go out to you all. May God bless you. And I just want to say to Bobby, to Les, to Mick, get better. We're all rooting for you. We've lost way too many people because of COVID. We don't want to lose you guys. We really do not want to lose you guys. Ring of Honor had a very busy week re-signing some talent, and they re-signed some very good talent. Bandido, Amy Rose, Mark Haskins, to name a few. And today they announced that they have re-signed Brian Johnson to a Ring of Honor contract. I'll tell you, Brian Johnson really impressed me at Final Battle. And I think that's a good re-signing. Ring of Honor right now is doing a very good job of being able to re-sign their talent, because that was the thing that they did not do at all during the pandemic, was when they were shut down, they did not release anybody. Everybody got paid. And whenever they were going to deal with the contracts, they were going to deal with the contracts, and they were going to re-sign people. And this week has been a very busy week. They've been re-signing a lot of talent. So Ring of Honor is really setting themselves up for a good 2021, I do believe. So keep an eye out for Ring of Honor. Speaking of Ring of Honor, this week it was announced that they and Marty Scurll have mutually agreed to part ways. So Marty Scurll no longer a part of Ring of Honor. For those wondering, why is he no longer a part of Ring of Honor? Quick reminder, when we had the speaking out movement last year, Marty's name came up for having sex with a 16-year-old girl in England. Now, at the time, that was the consent age. It was 16. But the thing is, this young lady was drunk. So that's really the main reason. Right now, there's talks of him maybe going to WWE. Going to be very interesting to see what happens there if WWE does pull the trigger and signs Marty Scurll to a WWE contract. Going to be very interesting. Staying with WWE, I did not watch the Legends show on Monday night because I was watching Night 1 of Wrestle Kingdom, which I will talk about in a little bit. And apparently it was a real crappy show. But one person's name that was referenced on Raw and then got a lot of coverage on Twitter was Cardi B. And now it's like people are like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if Cardi B came to WWE? Wouldn't it be cool if Cardi B was at WrestleMania? No. I do not want Cardi B at WrestleMania. Because first off, we don't know if there's going to be anybody in the stadium or in the building for WrestleMania, unless they do WrestleMania in the Thunderdome. What are you going to do with Cardi B if it's at the Thunderdome? There's nothing you can do. Plus, she's not that nice of a person from what I've seen. And she's done some bad stuff in the past that I'm not going to mention on this show. But I don't want her anywhere near a WWE ring. I mean, I know she is a fan. And there's nothing wrong with her being a fan. I just don't want her anywhere near a WWE ring. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna have her face Lacey Evans at WrestleMania? Oh, that'll bring a lot of people to the network. Cardi B versus Lacey Evans at WrestleMania. Ooh. So if they do, I will say this. If they do have Cardi B come, I'd rather have her face Peppa Pig at WrestleMania. Because she's got some beef with Peppa Pig, which is some BS reason. Because I talked about this on WWE Free recently with Jim Boy Star. And really the whole thing is Cardi B doesn't like that her 2-year-old daughter jumps in puddles and Peppa Pig, you know, quote-unquote, influences the kid. No, I'm sorry. You're a parent. You can tell your kid no. Don't go after a British preschool kid show. I'm on Team Peppa. Team Peppa all the way. Plus, if Cardi B's got a posse, Peppa Pig's got a posse. I'm not going to go through all the characters. I did that on WWE Free last week, so I'm going to save you the time and maybe a bit of my humiliation. Alright, well, speaking of time, and believe me, there was no humiliation. Wrestle Kingdom 15 really delivered on both nights, especially the second night. I think the second night was the better. I'll get into why a little bit later on. New Japan's biggest show of the year was held at the Tokyo Dome. There was question at time if this show was going to happen because Japan had put some new restrictions up. The shows did go on. The tickets, you know, they couldn't sell tickets the day of the show, but they managed to get, I want to say it was like 5,000 people for both nights. So, so let's go through both nights. I have my rating and Meltzer's rating, and I'm going to talk about each of the matches and go through both nights. So we'll begin with the pre-show match from night one, and I do want to point this out right away. Night one, you got to see the pre-show match. Night two, you did not get to see the pre-show match, I think, unless you were in the arena. Because I know when I went to watch Night 2 of Wrestle Kingdom, did not get to see any of the Stardom tag team matches. So, not going to do any ratings there. So, the pre-show match for Night 1 was the New Japan Rambo. Basically, kind of a Royal Rumble match. You had two competitors start, and then in interval times, another person would enter the ring. But this year was a little different, because instead of the last person remaining being the winner, the final four people would be declared the winners and would meet the following night for the King of Pro Wrestling provisional title. So, I'm going to save time because there really isn't much to talk about. Chase Owens and Tomohiro Ishii were the first two guys, and Ishii was in there for a long time. Owens manages to make it to the end. Really no big surprises, nothing too extravagant to talk about, although I have to admit I liked the ending of the match, because Bushi came out during the match, and he never really entered the ring. He just stayed on the outside. The closest he got to being in the ring was standing on the apron. And then the final entrant was Toru Yano. And by the time Yano made it to ringside, he was among the final four left. So Chase Owens, Bushi, Toru Yano, and Bad Luck Fale were declared the winners of the New Japan Rambo, which apparently was a tribute to Sylvester Stallone. No, I'm just kidding. This is the one that gets my lowest rating for both nights. I gave it a C minus. Wasn't much really to write home about. It was a thing. Meltzer gave it 1¾ stars. So now we go to the main show, and it starts with El Fantasmo against Hiromu Takahashi. I've seen Takahashi wrestle on many occasions, and he is very, very good. El Fantasmo, on the other hand, I have not seen a lot of, but man, I was impressed by El Fantasmo. The two of them, they just start right off the bat, and it is just pure lightning with these two. They're going all over the place. They're doing these moves. And El Fantasmo, I'll say this, for someone who I have not seen before, really impressed the heck out of me with this match. It was a good back-and-forth match. Fantasmo was working on not only Takahashi's feet, but also his hands, which was very interesting because Hiromu's finishing move involves his hands, and, you know, if your hands are in pain, you can't really do much. It was a good back-and-forth match. Takahashi got the win. It was a very good start to the pay-per-view, and the beginning of the match was really good, but at times I felt it slowed a little bit, but it didn't hurt it too much. So, it was a good match. I gave this a B. Meltzer gave it 4 stars. I enjoyed this opening match. I enjoyed this opening match more than I did the second night. Next match, IWGP Tag Team Titles, the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, challenging, Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi for the belts. This wasn't really my cup of tea, which is a shame, because the Gorillas of Destiny can have a really good match. Zack Sabre Jr. is a fantastic wrestler, and when Taichi puts it on, he can put it on. But here, this match just didn't do it for me. And it's kind of disappointing, because I thought maybe these four could go together and work really good. The Gorillas of Destiny won. They became the record-setting 7-time IWGP Tag Team Champion. The previous record was 6, held by Hiroyoshi Tenzan and Satoshi Kojima. But Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, 7-time IWGP Tag Team Champions. I gave it a C because there were points where it was good, but just, It wasn't that the whole match didn't do it for me. There were some good points in there, but it just, you know, I don't know. It just didn't click for me when I watched it. I gave it a C. Meltzer gave it 3.5 stars, so Meltzer's being a little bit more nice. Now, this next match really surprised me in a good way, in a very good way. Kenta facing Satoshi Kojima with the contract for an IWGP United States title shot on the line. But before we got the match, Jon Moxley appeared on the screen and cut a promo saying, you know, whoever wins this match, I'm ready for you. So that was a nice little surprise. this match was so good. This match was so good. I mean, Kojima, at 50 years old, I believe he's in his 50s, brought his A game to Kenta. He brought it, and it was very good. And there were times where it was like, maybe Kojima's going to win this. You know, they're making you think that Satoshi Kojima is going to win this match. So they did a really good job on that. Good back and forth. Kenta got the win with the go to sleep. So Kenta keeps the contract. More than likely, I think Kenta's going to come to the U.S. to face John Moxley for that title, because I really don't see Moxley going to Japan. I gave this a B-. Meltzer gave it 3 3/4 stars. So then we go to the second half of the show, and this is one of the positive things that I got to say about this year's Wrestle Kingdom, is the fact that there were intermissions to clean the ring, and that there weren't that many matches. And I think WWE could take a lesson from how, you know, Wrestle Kingdom did this year. And I'll give you a perfect example. I'm going to talk about last year's WrestleMania. If you look at both shows, they had a pre-show match, and then they had the card. So if you count, or if you don't count, the pre-show match on both nights, each card, each night of WrestleMania, was 8 matches. Both nights of Wrestle Kingdom, if you take away the pre-show match, 6 matches. And that kind of helped the show tremendously. So second half of the show begins with Hiroshi Tanahashi against the great Okan. And this was my first opportunity to see Okan in the ring. And I gotta say, I was kind of impressed by him. He stuck with it. He went with Tanahashi early on. They did some amateur wrestling. They were going hold for hold. And then Great Okan became this dominant monster, going after Tanahashi, attacking him. You know, he was being this heel monster that I haven't seen in a while, and he kind of did a good job of it. Towards the end, Great Okan tried to use a chair, but Tanahashi took it away, and then Tanahashi just went to town and hit 2 high fly flows and won the match. And, you know, I have to say, I was really impressed by how Okan did in this match. And Tanahashi, who is one of the all-time greats, really helped put this kid, put this guy over. He did a really good job in this match. I gave it a B. Meltzer gave it 3 3/4 stars. Then we go to the match of the night. And there is a possibility that this could be up there for match of the year already. I know, first week, but I'm being serious. It is Kazuchika Okada against Will Ospreay. An amazingly awesome match. These two go at each other. They are beating the crap out of each other. They are doing moves on the floor that would put a normal man out. There was one point where Ospreay, pardon me, I had a brain fart right there. There was a point in the match where Ospreay hits a brain buster through the table, and Okada's back is cut open. Like, he is bleeding on his back. And it's like, there's no way Okada's going to come back. But he, you know, he manages to come back. And you just have this amazing match back and forth. Okada hits a tombstone on the apron. Osprey is doing everything he can. Okada doing everything he can. Puts on the money clip. Makes a few attempts at a Rainmaker. Couldn't really get it. Near falls unbelievably well this match. And Okada ends up hitting a Rainmaker to win the match. Just an impressive match. An impressive match. I absolutely loved it. This was my favorite match of night one. You know what? I'm going to change my grade from what I have it. Because I originally had it as an A. That was an A-plus match. That really was. It was that good. If you have not seen it, you need to go see this match. It is absolutely amazing. Meltzer gave it 5.25 stars. So it is over 5 stars already. Then you had the main event of night one, IWGP heavyweight and intercontinental title on the line. Tetsuya Naito defending against Kota Ibushi. This was a good match. I don't think it was as good as the one they had in Madison Square Garden, which I was at, and that was a very good match. This was still a good match, don't get me wrong. This told a much different story, and it is a completely different story from night two. Night one here is they're just having a wrestling match. There's no hatred between the two. It's Ibushi who's had his chance a few occasions, can't win the big one. He can't win the big one. And you have this good back and forth match. There are times where you think, oh, Ibushi's going to get beat. He comes back. Naito hits the Destino a couple of times, can't put Ibushi away, but Ibushi comes back and he hits, you know, the Kamigoye, you know, the knee right into the face. 1, 2, 3. Ibushi wins. Ibushi wins both belts. A really good match. Second best match on night one. It's easily in my top five of both nights. Where I would put it, I'm not really sure. I gave it an A-. And Meltzer gave it 5 stars, which, you know what? I have no problem with. So, now we go to night two of Wrestle Kingdom. Like I said, did not get to see any of the Stardom matches that they had on the card. So I'm sure they'll put them up somewhere, but they did not air on NJPW World, but I'll just give you the quick results. There was a 6-woman tag team match. Utami Hayashishada, AZM, and Saya Kamatani defeated Maika, Himeka, and Natsupoi. And the other match was a tag match. Jiulia and Suri defeated Mayu Iwatani and Tam Nakano. Those were the two pre-show matches. Now to night two, and my God, this might be the best show of the year. I'm not even kidding. I know it's the 8th of January. This might be the best show of the year. It's going to be so hard to beat. Okay, so the opening match is the 4-way to crown the provisional King of Pro Wrestling champion. So what this is, for those that maybe you're a little confused with what this title is about. Basically, it's a trophy. And this was created about 6 months ago by Okada. They announced it in a press conference. that they would have this trophy called the King of Pro Wrestling Champion. And basically, whoever had the trophy at the end of the year would be named the champion. So, Toru Yano was the champion at the end of the year. So, he's the champion for 2020. It's a new year. Clean slate. Let's see what we get. So, the four men, Chase Owens, Bushi, Bad Luck Fale, and Toru Yano. I loved the beginning of this match. The beginning of this match was funny. Because Yano doesn't want to get in the ring. Bushi doesn't want to get in the ring. It's Owens and Fale. They're the only two guys in the ring. So, bell rings. They get the two sweet. And, oh my god, Owens is down. Fale goes for the pin. It's the finger poke of doom. And Bushi and Yano have to make the save before the match is already over. So, it's fight, 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 bite, 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 the Itchy and Scratchy show. The whole story up until the end is Fale and Owens are doing everything they can to win this match. Then we get to the end, where Fale and Owens hit a double team move. Owens goes for the pin. Fale breaks the pin. Then Fale goes for the pin. Owens breaks the pin. Then they get into an argument. And I loved this. This was so good. Because Chase Owens is like, look, if I win, I win. And Fale is like, no, if I win, we win. If you win, you just win. But if I win, we both win. So the referee, you know, is trying to get involved. And they're about to do a double choke slam on both guys. Yano hits a double low blow onto Owens and Fale. Bushi is knocked out. So Yano goes right over after he hits a double low blow. 1-2-3, Toru Yano wins and is, as of right now, the provisional King of Pro Wrestling Champion. You know what? It was a harmless, fun match. I don't think it was really meant to be taken any seriously. So I gave it a C. Meltzer gave it 1.75 stars. Then we go to the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles. Master Wado and Ryosuke Taguchi against El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Desperado and Kanemaru are the current champs. This is an alright match. You know, you have moments here, but at the end, it was Desperado and Kanemaru who ended up winning, retaining the titles. I think maybe down the line, these two teams will face each other again, but here, the champs stayed the champs. I gave this a C. Meltzer gave it 3.25 stars. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we go to the rest of this show. And my god, from this point on, some amazing wrestling is seen right here. Next match, the never open weight title. Shingo Takagi defending the title against Jeff Cobb. This is a battle of two big bad men. And they beat the crap out of each other. And it is so damn good. Because they're going back and forth. Jeff Cobb then does everything, and I mean everything he can, to win this never open weight title. Shingo will just not let him win. And there, it's, you know, outside, inside, outside, inside. It's, you know, you hit me with this, I'll hit you with that. It's strength against strength, man against man. And it's so damn good. And in the ending, you know, Cobb hit the tour of the islands, but, you know, his knee had been bothering him, and, you know, he couldn't really put a lot of weight on it, and Shingo managed to get out, and then Shingo comes back, and, you know, Shingo hits his signature moves, and then he hits the Last of the Dragon to retain the Never Open Weight title in a fantastic match. Any other show, this would have been the match of the night. Any other show, this would have been the match of the night. But it gets better. I gave this an A. I loved this match. Absolutely loved this match. Meltzer gave it 5 stars. Next match, actually the only match on night 2 that was not a title match. Evil versus Sonata. And this told a really good story. I really liked the story that was told here. It is, you have Dick Togo out there with Evil, and it's basically Evil and Togo against Sonata. It's not Evil against Sonata. It's Evil and Dick Togo against Sonata. And you got some good wrestling in here. You have good moves. And the poor timekeeper during this match gets knocked down twice by Evil. This poor man gets knocked down twice by Evil. Oh my god, it was so funny. And then, towards the end, the referee, I think he gets distracted or he gets knocked out, one of the two. And Togo is holding Sonata, so Evil can hit a move on him. Well, Sonata, or Evil, runs the ropes, goes for the move. Sonata moves out of the way. Togo gets hit, and Togo oversells this table spot. Like, the jump is so funny. It's as if he was falling, you know, like he was climbing a mountain, and he was falling. But this was like such an oversell. It was great. So, you know, both men, Sonata and Evil, they keep fighting. And Togo amazingly comes back. And Evil and Togo try to do another double team move. But Sonata pushes Evil into the ropes, which knocks Togo down on the corner, crotches him. And Sonata hits, you know, a great Muta-style moonsault to get the win. This told a good story. I gave this a B. Meltzer gave it 4.25 stars. Then we go to the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match. Taiji Ishimori defending the belt against Hiromu Takahashi. Again, another good match. And again, this match told a completely different style of match than Hiromu's first match, where the match he had with Ishimori, or not Ishimori, with El Fantasmo, was based on high flying. This was more of a wrestling style match where you did have some high flying, but it wasn't really needed a lot in here. And this told a really good story. Ishimori is going for submission moves. He's got the lapel lock on. He's doing all these different submission moves because remember, Ishimori or Takahashi's hands and feet are still hurt from the previous night, and he's doing everything he can to win. He's going after the hands, going after the feet. Takahashi will just not give up, and Hiromu eventually manages to come back, and he hits the time bomb to get the 3 count and win back the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. Really good match. I gave this an A-. I preferred this match over the one with Phantasmo. Even though that match was good, this match was just a much better match. I gave it an A-. Meltzer gave it 4.75 stars. And I do want to point out real quick, Ishimori, his entrance gear, he looked like Shredder from Ninja Turtles with his helmet. He looked really, really cool. And then the main event of Night 2 of Wrestle Kingdom. And this is the biggie. This is the big one. Kota Ibushi, about 24 hours after beating Tetsuya Naito to win both belts, makes his first defense against Jay White. This match, again, I know I've said it a lot in this review of both shows, but it is the truth. This match tells a different story than the previous night, and it is so good. Because this is Jay White and Gato playing strategy. They're doing chess with Kota Ibushi. It's basically cat and mouse. Like, how can we do this? How can we beat him? And they're doing everything they can to beat him. White wrestles him. Ibushi wrestles. You know, if Jay White fights, Ibushi fights. If one goes to the floor, the other goes to the floor. They are doing everything to each other to win this match. And neither man is going to give up. And, you know, Jay White on a couple occasions could have won the match, but Red Shoes was like, no, I'm not going to count that. And it is just so good. It's back and forth. Back and forth, and you really don't notice until the commentators say it. And I actually watched the English commentary, which is the first time I've actually watched a New Japan show with English commentary on their streaming service. That was really fun to listen to. And it's like, okay, 20 minutes have gone by, 30 minutes have gone by, 45 minutes have gone by. And it doesn't feel like it's gone that long, which is the amazing part. And, you know, after Jay White does everything, and even Gato got involved with a pair of brass knucks, do everything, Ibushi becomes this other side of him. It's like an evil Kota Ibushi, where he does not care about what Jay White's well-being is. And, you know, he just puts him away, and he knocks him out. Ibushi wins the match, keeps the IWGP heavyweight title and intercontinental title in an amazing match. I gave this an A+. Meltzer gave this 5.25 stars. Really, I would say, if you're going to watch these, if you're going to watch both shows, which I do recommend, the main match to watch on night one is Okada and Ospreay. That was an amazing match. The main event of night two, you have to see. It is absolutely amazing. And I think the second night of Wrestle Kingdom was better than the first one. And the reason I say that is, the final four matches on this card had a story. They had something to do, something to deal with. It was all personal, and it had something on the line. And I really enjoyed the second night of Wrestle Kingdom 15. It was absolutely amazing. Go out of your way to see this. If you haven't, and if you have, watch it again. Watch it again, because it is really, really good. However, there was a story that broke from this, especially from the second night, where Jay White said in his press conference after his match that he is leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling. And the next night was maybe his last night. You know, I can't say if it's like a storyline or if it's actually true. But if it is true, and he is gone from New Japan, boy, oh boy, you got some deep pockets that are about ready to pay money to get Jay White. And if it is a storyline, well, then you've got quite a storyline here, to be honest with you. So, be funny to see. Be funny to see how this ends up going. Well, that is actually going to do it for the first show of the year. Yes, the first show of the year is in the books. So let's quickly check if there are any emails. Maybe there are, maybe there aren't. Let's see. No emails. Okay, so we can go on and wrap up the show and tell you what is planned for next week. So if you guys have any questions or comments, send an email, wrestlingman@thatwrestlingshow.com. Follow the show on Twitter @WrestlingShow11. Follow us on Instagram @ThatWrestlingShow. Join the Facebook group. It is That Wrestling Show Fan Group. You type that in the search bar. Boom, you're right there. And if you can't find it, it's okay. I post the link in the description of each and every episode. And visit the Patreon page, patreon.com/thatwrestlingshow. All right, some podcasts you guys should check out. It is Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast with Joe Morata and Michael Quinn. This week, they discuss what went wrong with Diesel as the WWF champion. Plus, week 3 of the Royal Flush of the Worst Feuds. And they review an episode of WWF Superstars from December 29th, 1990. Plus, if you join their Patreon page, and like I say, this is the only podcast that I will plug their Patreon. If you join their Patreon, and if you do the $5 tier, right now, ladies and gentlemen, up is their review of the 1992 Royal Rumble event, including the biggie, the Royal Rumble match for the WWF title. You're going to want to hear that review, Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Now, if you want to listen to a man who does this show by himself, or does a podcast by himself, then check out Greetings from Allentown with Peter Winston. He watches one episode of wrestling each week in his own special way. This week, he hit a milestone with his 200th episode. And for his 200th episode, he reviews the 1987 Slammy Awards. Oh, boy. Yep, the Slammies. I've seen this one. This is a very interesting show. So I can't wait to hear this review of the 1987 Slammy Awards this week on Greetings from Allentown. Also, check out Juice Pro Wrestling, where this week they have a very interesting look at the career of Sting. No, not the singer, the wrestler, Sting, Steve Borden. They have a very interesting look at his career, wrestling, you know, starting off in the territories, going into, you know, the NWA and into WCW, and everywhere in between. So check it out, Juice Pro Wrestling. And real quick, while I'm at it, want to send out a congratulations to Justin from Juice Pro Wrestling, who recently got engaged. So congratulations to Justin on his engagement to be married. And check out Two Fans Review Wrestling Podcast, where this week they review World War III from 1995, plus their usual ECW, Saturday Night, Raw, Nitro, that stuff, this week on Two Fans Review Wrestling. Now, if you're looking for non-wrestling-related podcasts, check out Last Stop Penn Station with Kerry Silken and Ian Riccaboni, as we look into the life of Carrie Silken. It is their season 3 premiere, and this involves Ian Riccoboni singing. Huh. That might actually be pretty interesting. Check it out. Last Stop, Penn Station. Also, check out The Castle Vault, a chronological deep dive of Disney animated films powered by Disney+. This week, they go into the unknown as they watch and review Frozen 2. That is this week on The Castle Vault. And check out Dave and Ethan's 2000-inch Weird Al podcast, where this week they are joined by content creator Alicia Buonvieri and the host of the Fun Zone podcast, Byron Lee. That is this week on Dave and Ethan's 2000-inch Weird Al podcast. And finally, check out Sharks Pond, a South Park podcast, where I review each and every South Park episode. This week is the beginning of Season 11 of South Park, as I review the Season 11 premiere episode with apologies to Jesse Jackson. That is this week on Sharks Pond, a South Park podcast. Okay, next week, going to be a fun show, because it is our annual That Wrestling Award show, where you, the fans, voted on the categories. Going to reveal all the winners right here next week on the show. Plus, going to preview Impact Wrestling's Hard to Kill pay-per-view, as that is only 1 week away from tomorrow night. So, everybody have a good, safe weekend. Hope you guys enjoyed the holidays, and come back here next week for another episode of That Wrestling Show, the podcast where all pro wrestling matters. And as always, wrestle on.